Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before moving into the sales arena and becoming a relationship building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. I just had a little feedback. That's why I stopped, you know, so that was it. So it was confusing me. I'm like, am I speaking? Am I hearing myself speak? Whatever. But anyway, but thank you so much for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. I do appreciate it. This is a live radio show, as you can tell, because, you know, I just kept going, right? I did tell you what was going on because I was startled that I kept hearing my voice in my headset, like, you know, 10 times the normal volume level. But that's okay. That's okay. We're all about connecting people and collaboration. We're hashtag hospitality unplugged. And I'm live from the Pasadena Hilton today. Can you see the backdrop here at the Hilton? Great hotel. If you're ever in Pasadena, come check it out. You know, ask for the GM, Joe Tatesian. Just say, hey, I need the Joe Tatesian rate. No, I'm joking. No, ask for the Russell of Hotels rate. And if they don't give it to you, then ask for Joe Tatesian. I'm sure he'd get a kick out of that one. But anyway, hashtag hospitality unplugged, like I said. Show number 69. Wow. We're almost close to another milestone, which is 70. Who would have thought, right? Who would have thunk it? I don't know why I've been kind of drinking a lot of water lately, kind of parched. You know, I got my workout in today, just so you know. You know, I don't talk about that enough. You know, I get my little workout on every now and then. I was pumping doing some dumbbell work earlier. And then later, time permitting, you know, I got a busy day, you know, so time permitting, I'll do some barbell work as well, right? And maybe even jump some rope. So I do a little bit of, you know, a little bit, you know, like you can't look like this and not do something, right? That was a good one. Anyway, show number 69. I do appreciate everyone that listens and watches On Air with Russell of Hotels. I don't take it lightly, and I do appreciate the feedback that I get and people that watch and people that don't watch it, that want to watch, right? Or people that have comments like, well, you know, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Well, you know, I could do that. But anyway, but I do appreciate all the stuff that, you know, people give me, even some of the negative stuff. It's okay too, because as long as they're talking about you, that's all that matters. I mean, it doesn't matter to me if it's good or bad. As long as they're talking about me, that's a good thing. Show number 69, industry news. What's going on in the industry? You know, I just got the phone. I was talking to an old friend, colleague of mine. We used to work together back in the day. He's now a meeting planner. And we're just talking about, you know, what's going on as far as meetings are concerned and things like that. And he was mentioning that, you know, very few meetings are being booked for future years right now. You know, you would think, you know, people are, of course, they're not booking, you know, 2020. You know, there are a lot of cancellations. They may be booking into 2021, but he said not a lot of future year bookings like for 22 and beyond, which, you know, that's kind of surprising to me that, you know, people aren't looking past this whole, pandemic thing, if you will, and booking in future years. But I mean, that just goes to tell you, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty here, right? I mean, we're trying to get past, 2020, we want 2020 to be over. So we're not thinking about maybe not even 2021 or any future years at this point. So as far as at least in the meeting space is what we're talking about. So that was interesting, that the conversation that I had with him. So he told me this. He said, very few are booking future years. He thinks it's about 3 years before the market sees pre-COVID numbers. 3 years, okay? Lead organization, they're saying 3 years before the market sees pre-COVID numbers. And we're talking probably we're talking 2019 numbers. He also mentioned that, and I didn't know this, Marriott Corporation office has lost 90% of their staff. Either they've been furloughed or laid off. That's crazy, right? And then at the property level, a lot of properties I see do this. People are doing their multitasking, meaning they've been cross-trained, right? Well, people are doing, like, directors of sales are checking people in. They're working at the front desk, cleaning rooms or doing things that, they weren't used to doing. I mean, because, everything is pretty specialized. Salespeople do sales. Operations people do operations, whatever. But in a pandemic or a situation like this, it's all hands on deck. So if you're still there, meaning you're still working, you still have a job, then you have to pretty much do whatever you need to do to keep things going or to keep that check coming in or whatever. So that was just an interesting conversation that we had about that. And I've seen some of the stuff kind of firsthand, or at least heard from other people. So, but hey, all I can say is, hang in there. Hopefully things get back to some kind of normalcy soon. We don't know when. No one knows when and where or how, but we just keep the faith and keep it moving, right? So, and then he also said something that was interesting. He was talking about first quarter cancellations. He said he's still dealing with a lot of first quarter cancellations. And he said one thing that he's telling these people, his clients, is that fear is not a force majeure. Like, that's pretty deep right there, right? Because people will cancel based on fear. They're not canceling based on fear, meaning, okay, if my program is not until mid-2021 and I'm canceling now, well, why am I canceling now? We don't know what's going to happen, say 3 months prior to, say August of 2021. We don't know what's going to happen, right? So the people that are canceling now for next year, they're basically doing that off of fear, right? So, well, fear can sometimes cost too. So if you got to wait, at least get closer to your program, because hotels are not just going to let you out of contracts based on fear, because at the end of the day, hotels have an obligation, to their owners, right? If they had contracts and things like that, don't get mad at me, but if contracts have been signed, and then, a year out, you're trying to cancel a program and we don't know what's going to be happening next year, right? They're going to hold you to the force. They're going to hold you to that cancellation fee. I mean, bottom line, that's what it comes down to. So just be careful. Don't get, we're all fearful for a lot of things, right? But when it comes to money, we need to make sure that we understand what we're doing. So don't let fear be a force majeure. Don't think fear is a force majeure. Don't get them twisted. One has nothing to do with the other. Okay. So just thought I'd throw that out there since he mentioned that. I said, that is very interesting. So, but anyway, Margaritaville Resorts. Have you guys heard of them? And I've heard of them, but I've never been to a Margaritaville Resort. But the reason why I'm bringing it up, they're making a splash in Southern California. Who would have thought? Who knew this? I didn't even know that San Diego and Palm Springs are going to get Margaritaville Resorts, right? One, the former Hotel Solamar in San Diego, which is in the Gaslamp District, is going to be a Margaritaville Hotel, San Diego Gaslamp. Okay, so that's one. And then Paradise Point Resort and Spa in San Diego is going to be the Margaritaville Island Resort, San Diego. Both slated to open. Oh, well, the Margaritaville Resort, Island Resort, is slated to open 2021. Okay, the And then Solamar, I think, is going to, well, no, they're both going to open 2021. I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. So Solamar is going to be the Margaritaville Hotel San Diego Gaslamp. And then the former Paradise Point Resort is going to be the Margaritaville Island Resort San Diego, both scheduled to open 2021. Now, the former Riviera in Palm Springs will be become the Margaritaville Resort Palm Springs late this year. It's going to open 2020, right? I didn't know that one. I mean, I know the Riviera. I stayed there many times back in the day. And I didn't realize that they were under renovation and undergoing to be a Margaritaville Resort. But hey, there you go. So that's a couple new brands that are going to be sprouting up in Southern California. And who knows what's going to happen after that when all this stuff settles down, right? So, hey, just so you know, so when you're booking Palm Springs end of the year, maybe you need to check out Margaritaville Resort. Maybe some new stuff is going on over there. I don't know. I haven't been there, but guess what? Maybe I need to go check it out. So people at the Margaritaville Resort in Palm Springs, give me a call. We'll do a show live from there, just like I'm doing a show live from Pasadena Hilton. I love to come out there and do a show live from there. I should do more lives, right? I should be more on, I was going to say on campus or on property at hotels and do my show from there. So, I mean, the Pasadena Hilton, you know, they're good. They invite me out here and then, you know, we do all kinds of stuff or whatever. But anyway, Google has extended their coronavirus stay at home order for employees until June 2021. Did you know that? So, and then Facebook has canceled meetings of 50 people or more until June 2021. So what does that mean? Okay, why am I even saying that? Because those are huge companies, right? Huge companies that do a lot of travel, business travel, group business. And so that can be like an indicator, right, of things to come. Because if these two large companies, Google and Facebook, are doing things, they're keeping people at home longer, and now they're not having meetings, you know, 50 people or more until June 2021, which can prolong this whole thing, right? Because one company does it, then other companies see it, well, hey, if Google and Facebook are doing this, we should do this as well, right? So, you know, hotel people, we're not happy about this, right? You know, companies have to do what they have to do, right? You want to keep people safe and things like that. But, you know, hotel people want to get back to work, right? So it's, you know, what can you do, right? You don't want it to happen, but you understand why it would happen. But, you know, those are prime indicators that things are not going as quickly as people would want them. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, certain cities are spiking. Some cities are going down, meaning they haven't had new cases and things like that. So, I mean, it all points back to we need to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And if that's staying home, if that's not being around a lot of people, if that's masking up when, you know, some people don't mask up, we need to mask up. I mean, those are things that we need to do. And a case in point, 2 weeks ago, or it was the last week or 2 weeks ago, I'm not sure if you guys saw this thing, Cambria Hotel in Anaheim. It was a big, huge melee, you know, for lack of a better word, a melee, a fight or whatever. But it stemmed from a lot. First of all, there was too many people at the hotel. Now, if we're doing this whole social distancing and things like this, there was 200 people in the pool. Now, the pool is not like a pool that's in Las Vegas that takes up, you know, almost a football field in length, right? The pool is no bigger than probably 30 feet by, I don't know, 16 feet. There was 200, literally about 200 people in this pool. You know, people don't have masks. Of course, you don't have a mask when you're in a pool, right? So you got all these people and all it takes is for one person to hit someone else or move into someone or fall onto someone. And then a melee starts, right? Or begins or whatever, ensues. So, I mean, those are things that happened. Like I said, that was 2 weeks ago. 200 people in the pool, people with no masks, no social distancing. It was out of control. Fights were happening. And, you know, and my question is, why would this hotel allow this to happen? Right? I mean, at some point, you knew that there was a lot of people in the pool. And you knew that something may happen because of all these people in the pool. It's hot. People want to get in the pool. One person touches another. And next thing you know, a melee. So, I mean, It just, I don't understand that. This did happen in Anaheim, which is Orange County, right? So people are they're not as, and I've seen this on TV, so I can say this. I see this on the news, right? So it must be true if it's on the news, right? People are not wearing their masks like they should, right? They're not consistent. So obviously this hotel, the Cambria Hotel in Anaheim, it just opened this year and they allowed this to happen. So hopefully nothing like this happens again and people adhere to the rules and the regulations or the policies and procedures. And then we can get back to where we need to be, right? And then you can go and have 200 people there, no social distancing because there's no new cases and things like that. But that's not the case right now. That's not what's going on. So people need to understand. And I think people understand. They just, they don't want to do it. It's just this whole neglect for, you know, following rules and things like that. I don't understand how did we get to the point where we're just not going to follow what anyone tells us to do because it's not within our program, right? Well, just so you know, Russell of Hotels, Russell L. Edmond, follows the rules. I don't have to go somewhere to where it's 200 people there. I can remove myself from there or I can just stay at home. Right. Until all this stuff dies down, I can stay at home. I mean, you can work from home these days. Right. That's the prime example of what's going on with Facebook and who's on the Google with, you know, staying at home and not traveling and things like that. Well, they're not the only ones that's doing it. There's a lot of people that are doing that. So we have to, in order for us to move over this hump, we need to adhere to the policies and procedures. We may not agree with them. We don't agree with every single thing that goes on. I don't agree with every single thing, but I know people are dying because I know people that have died from this thing, right? So why put yourself in harm's way if you don't have to? And then you got kids and things like that too. You know, kids are dying too. I mean, where's the responsibility is where it comes down to. And as a hotelier, we have responsibilities as well. We don't have to allow these people to come in. We can cap it off like, hey, we're capping off. We're not taking any more reservations today. Or no other people can come in the pool. Whatever the case is, but we have to take, you know, control of these situations before they get out of hand, like obviously it did at this one particular hotel. Anyway, today's Tuesday, Taco Tuesday, right? Enough of that. Taco Tuesday, right? Last week I didn't do tacos. I did enchiladas, right? I did jackfruit enchiladas. Oh my God. You're talking about delish, hashtag delish, they were. Okay, so today, and I'm getting partial to this, to mushrooms. You know, mushrooms with the seasoning and all that kind of stuff on them. And they're like mixed mushrooms. So you get the buttons, shiitakes, you get all these kind of different mushrooms together. They all have their own different flavors and textures. And I love it. And I'm going to throw a little spinach in it. And of course, onions and peppers as well. But I'm going to do that today. So jackfruit was last week, which was good. I'm going to do mushrooms with spinach today. Man, it's going to be good. I can hardly wait, right? Let me get through this show because I can hardly wait for that. I can prepare it now. And I'm home alone too, right? So no one has to bother me. I don't hear any background noise. I'm home alone today or for a week, I believe. So this is good. This is all good. Are you reinventing yourself? Are you swerving? You know, swerving is another word for pivoting, right? So several weeks ago, I mentioned that I'm going to try to limit my use of the P word and use the S word. So are you reinventing yourself or are you swerving? Okay. And then just so you didn't know, there was 8 other words that I came up with in order to use. So you don't have to use the P word. Rotating, turning, revolving, spinning, swiveling, twirling, swerving, my favorite, and oscillating. Those are words you can use instead of using the P word. Okay. So make note of those things and use those words. Okay. Because the P word is being overused, right? So the best way to predict the future is to invent it. So do your own thing, be your own boss, whatever that means, right? Contact information. How do you get a hold of Russell of Hotels? Russell@russellofhotels.com. Twitter, I'm at Russell of Hotels. IG, Russell of Hotels. LinkedIn, Russell L. Edmond. Facebook, I have 2 pages. Russell L. Edmond and Russell of Hotels. And I have a website, which is russellofhotels.com. So I have my phone number there. If you have questions, you can always call me. I take questions. Well, I was going to say I answer. I take a lot of calls, but actually I don't. because sometimes I don't know who the numbers are, right? I don't recognize the numbers and I don't answer the phone. So leave a message. If you have a question, make sure you leave a message, because like I said, if I don't recognize the number or if it doesn't come up as somebody that's been saved in my phone, I won't answer it. Sorry. But yeah, so just leave a message and I'll call you back. That's not a problem. So don't worry about that. So after the show is over, we're a live show, like I said. And thanks, Cheryl Rogers, for saying, yes, 69. This is my 69th show. Thank you so much. Hopefully your dad's doing well. Cheryl, her dad had surgery yesterday. So we prayed it all goes well with him and all goes with family. Shout outs are due. Let's see. What was I talking about? Okay. This is a live show, right? Live show. So everything that happens before, you know, I make a mistake, whatever. Okay, I make a mistake, right? It's okay. It's natural. It happens. But after the show's over, it becomes a podcast, right? So it's available on everywhere that you listen to your favorite podcast. So just type in On Air with Russell of Hotels and you'll find me. I'm there. Sponsorship opportunities. There's always sponsorship opportunities, just like Hilton Pasadena. You can see, you can see the Hilton Pasadena up there. I always forget, you know, which side this thing is. But yeah, you can see Hilton Pasadena or your logo. You can see my two logos at the bottom, Russell of Hotels, and then my On Air with Russell of Hotels logo. So you can also be there. I mean, people watch the show. They listen to the show. It's a podcast. I mean, we get people in the view nationally in the hundreds, if not the thousands. Out of the country, I was going to say, I was thinking what countries listen to the show. Well, let's start with the cities. L.A., Orange County, Chicago. Orange County is a county, you know, encompasses other cities, a lot of cities. But we just say Orange County as a whole. But L.A. is a city because I'm in L.A. Orange County, Chicago, San Francisco, New York City, Atlanta. Outside of the country, the Philippines, the U.K., Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Vancouver specifically, Jamaica, Bahamas, Barbados, all the Caribbean nations, you know, they listen to me. They you know, they're like, all right, we like Russell of Hotels, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, what is the Russell of Hotels group? Digital marketing. That's what I do a lot of with hotels. I do a lot of their social media. Help them build a presence, especially in this time where people don't know which hotels are open. You know, Joe Consumer doesn't know which hotels are open until you tell them, right? Until they see it somewhere. So we just want to make sure that you're building a presence with videos, postings, et cetera. I'm a radio show host as well. I interview today's hospitality professionals. Not today, but I do. I think I'm setting up a big show coming up with, who is it? I can't remember the two people that are going to be on the show. We're going to meet on Thursday, then we'll talk about it, right? But Michelle Carlin is one of them. I remember Michelle, so stop. I know she's listening. Collaborating and connecting with people. That's what I'm big at, connecting and collaborating, right? So the phone calls that I get before the show or during the week, you know, it's all about connecting with people, you know, people maybe I haven't connected with in a while. And that's some of the things that we need to make sure that we're doing, right? I always ask, one of the questions that I always ask every week is, have you connected with anyone either new or maybe people that, you know, you kind of lost touch with them because of this whole COVID thing? You know, people are still out there. Some people are still working. In fact, I just got some emails from my CVB or DMO contacts with Las Vegas, as well as Denver, right? So I put programs in both of those cities, and you know they're reaching out to see how things are going, you know, and seeing what, you know, any future stuff that's coming up. Actually, I gave them information for an RFP for 2022. So you know, people are still out there, you know, they're still out there. So we need to make sure we reach out to them. So I do appreciate those two individuals for reaching out to me. Let's see. How is your brand staying relevant? And that's one of the things that, you know, these are four questions that I ask every week. How's your brand staying relevant? What are you doing? Do people know you're open? Are you closed? What's going on? Are your pools open? Are your services closed? I mean, people need to know that before they come to your hotel. Make sure it's on your website. Make sure our websites are up to date so we know exactly what's what. So guests or potential guests know that, okay, the pool's closed. And I thought most pools were closed, right, until I saw that whole Cambria thing. I hate to go back to that, but, ooh, that's really just it's not sitting well with me anyway. But are your pools open? Make sure that information is on your website. Michelle Carlin says she says Margaritaville resorts are great. Okay. Obviously she stayed there, right? Or maybe had a margarita there. Are they big for margaritas? I mean, is that what they call margarita? Is that Jimmy Buffett, you know, wasting away again in Margaritaville? Oh, you didn't think I knew that song, huh? Well, I know it. Any song that has to do with drinking, I know. That was a joke. Mom, that was a joke. I was just joking about that. Shout out to, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't go through my questions. Okay, how's your brand staying relevant? I'm getting ahead of myself today. I'm trying to get to this Taco Tuesday thing, right? So I have to prepare my mushrooms. How's your brand staying relevant? That's one question. Knowing what you know now, is there anything that you would do differently? Okay. These questions are for you, not for me to answer. Have you connected with anyone new? I mentioned that a while ago. You know, people reaching out, especially amid this whole COVID crisis, are we reaching out to people? And you may be able to find new business, new opportunities. You never know what people are working on or people are doing. They may be waiting for that phone call to come. So you never know, right? Or they may be just like, why the hell call me? And just remember, you know, all our old contacts, I mean, I happen to be still here. And obviously my contacts with Denver CVB as well as Vegas CVB are still there, right? But sometimes we call and, or maybe we email and we don't get a response, right? So maybe those people don't work there anymore. So it behooves us to make sure we're picking up the phone and call. If we don't get an answer from the email within 24 hours, I think we need to call them, or we should call them, to make sure your contact is still there. And if your contact is not there, well, who is the contact? And then, you know, follow up from there. That's how I would do that. But just so happens, I mean, when I got the email, I responded quickly because I wanted to make sure they knew, well, I'm still around, first of all, and I'm still doing what I was doing before. So it serves two purposes, right? So just make sure we do that. And what has this situation taught you? I mean, what have we learned from this whole COVID situation? And that's a question for you, not for me to answer. That's a question for you. Shout out to people who live in Blythe. I'm doing this a weekly Blythe shout out, okay? Because it's 111 degrees today, supposed to be. So, you know, that's kind of a cool day, right? I mean, that's, you know, last week, I think it was 114, 111. That's a cool day. So you can run out and play and all that kind of stuff. And I have a fact. I had to check a fact last week because I mentioned last week I was on this rant about why Blythe hasn't grown like some of the other river cities, because Blythe is a river city. It sits right on the Colorado River. A lot of you people know that. And I mentioned the fact that Lake Havasu had like over 100,000 people in its population. Well, I was wrong. It wasn't 100,000. They have 52,000 people, okay, which is still far more than what Blythe has. So Blythe has not grown as much as Lake Havasu has. So my question was, why hasn't Blythe, which is a river city, grown like some of the other river cities, which are in close proximity to Blythe? And so that was a question. So I threw out Lake Havasu has over 100,000, which, well, I was wrong. I did not check my facts beforehand, but I checked my facts after the show. And it is, in fact, Lake Havasu has 52,000 people. So thank you for your patience. And I'm sorry that I inflated the numbers of Lake Havasu City, but it still doesn't, you know, answer the question why Blythe has not grown like some of the other river cities has. So shout out to people in Blythe, my mom, my brothers specifically, you know, aunts and uncles and cousins and all the stuff that still live there, and friends and family that live there as well. You know, in fact, you know what? Basically condolences and prayers to the family of Louis Camus. Louis Camus was a classmate of mine, and he passed away, I think yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. So I do, I mean, I got that. That was on Facebook this morning, and that was a shock. I haven't seen him in years, but he was one of the coolest dudes out there. So I do, I'm sorry that, you know, for the loss of the family, but I just want to give Louis Camus, not a shout out, but just, you know, recognize that I thought he was a cool dude. And I'm sorry that he's no longer with us, and my prayers and condolences to his family. So there you go, Louis Camus. Congrats. Oh, okay. There's some congrats to some people. I got some news that some people got promoted, some people got new jobs, but because this stuff is so new, I can't say it yet. So these are going to be some future promotions coming up. So congrats to these people. I can't say your name when the word is, say, just hold off 2 weeks and then you can say it, right? But I'm just excited about these two people. These are two people that I've worked with several times and still are good friends, and we still communicate and we help each other out and we connect and collaborate. So I can't wait to get that out. It's just, as you can tell, it's just tearing me up inside that I can't say it. But anyway, and thank you, Michelle Carlin. Yes, Jimmy Buffett. I know. Come on. but I do have a congrats to Miss Jeanette Seha of Jet Set with Jeanette. She's beginning her new bilingual podcast. It's called Global Conversations. That would be a good one. So anywhere you listen to your podcast, check out Jeanette, because Jeanette's a friend. She's a friend of mine, friend of the show. She's been a guest on the show. And no, we appreciate her. In fact, she did a piece on, not just on me, but it's for four travel individuals. She kind of highlighted us, and it was good. So I do appreciate Jeanette. So anytime I can give her a shout out and congratulations and put her on blast, because this is putting someone on blast, talking about their Global Conversations podcast, and it's bilingual. And it's good that people that have skills, we need to use them, right? She's bilingual. She's fluent in Spanish as well as English. So you need to make sure you use your gifts, right? Those are gifts. So if you're good at things, make sure you put that stuff out there. So this is good. So I'm so happy for Jeanette, and I can't wait to hear the first one. So thank you so much for sending that out, Jeanette. Introduction of today's topic. Now, today's topic, well, it's not going to be a long one, that's for sure. But it has to do with what hotels can do to swerve during these trying times. Now, I've mentioned some of these things before. And swerving is another word for the P word, okay, the pivot word, just in case people are just tuning in like, what is swerve? What is he saying? Swerving, meaning, okay, if we can't do this, what can we do, right? We don't have people coming in, but what can we do? How can we utilize, as a hotel, how can I or we utilize the resources that we already have? The stuff is here, is not being used. So how can we use those things? And, you know, I started thinking about this. I've been thinking about this for a while, right? And I mentioned some stuff before. But the first one that comes to mind is your food and beverage operations, right? Now, we can't have people come in yet because I don't think we have the protocol, at least here in LA. We may not have the protocol for, you know, how we're going to prepare food and all this kind of stuff for guests. But does that stop us from preparing food and having it delivered to people in our area, like say businesses that are still open? They still got to eat lunch, right? Are you near a residential area? Can we deliver food? I mean, restaurants are doing that, right? Restaurants are, they've stopped their in room or in property dining, and they're doing delivery or pickup. Have we done that? Are we in areas where we can do that? I mean, every hotel is different. I understand that. Maybe there's some rules and policies that have to be in place. But have we even done that? Have we even done any research to find that? I think that would be great. I mean, if we already have a restaurant, right? We bring somebody in, and I understand there can be some union issues if you're a union hotel. But people want to go back to work, right? So why not offer, you know, open up your food and beverage operations, offer food delivery to neighborhoods or businesses, business parks in the area, prepackaged meals. They can come pick it up. You know how you have the to-go boxes for people that you, if you're serving breakfast, why not have the to-go stuff for people that in your neighborhood or in the area? I mean, you just have to pay for it. It's not free, right? You're still charging people, but there's revenue that maybe we may be leaving on the table. I don't know. Just a question, just a fact, something to make you go, I never thought about that. But now that I heard this on Air with Russell of Hotels, we're going to give it a try, or at least we're going to do some research. And that's all I want, is to, for people to think, how can I utilize the resources that I currently have at this hotel? What about drinks? What about pre-packaged drinks or pre-mixed drinks? People want to drink. Regardless, any kind of situations going on, people want to drink, right? They want to, maybe they don't know how to make a dirty martini or whatever. What if you have, martini glasses and the mix and the alcohol? All they got to do is, you have a shaker that's already with all the ingredients in it. All you have to do is, put ice on the top and shake it and then pour, things like that. People look for things that are convenient, right? And who's going to, people will remember things like that. I mean, that's a marketing thing. That's some way to promote your business, right? So, I mean, you can do that via social media. You can do it, flyers in the area. And one thing that we always forget is that all the times, all the years that we have amassed all this information with emails and things like that, this is the time to use that stuff. The email blast that we used to do, right? We get all these, we need everyone's email address. We need phone numbers. We need this. Well, what do you do with it? You just gather all this information so you can separate it by who's local and who's not. Businesses in the area, whatever, let them know that you're having these services, whatever that is. And I threw the pre-drinks in because everybody likes to drink, right? So pre-mixed drinks. What about cooking classes via Zoom? And I mentioned that one a couple of weeks ago. What about that? You have a chef, a cook, or whatever that maybe want, do some cooking classes via Zoom. I'd make tacos. Maybe I can do a Zoom class. How to do jackfruit enchiladas. I didn't think about that. Maybe I should make some money that way. There you go. Okay, I'm gonna look into that. But these are things that you, like I said, you have the resources. Hotels have the resources to do this stuff. Why not take it a step further? Because the kitchen is not being utilized now. Is it going to cost you? Of course, it's going to cost money to make money. But there's a lot of restaurants that are making probably more money now because their overhead is lower, than having your whole dining room open, right? And you have more people coming in. Because at the end of the day, hotels, restaurants, they're all there to make money for the owner. If it's owner operated, they're trying to make money, right? So they're trying to cut costs. So, and we need to, of course, we need to support them for that, right? But they're utilizing their resources. They didn't just close down completely. They said, okay, well, we can't serve people in here, but we can do the pickup. They can, call in orders. They can come pick them up. Or as the, city government allowed them to open up their patios and things like that to do outside dining or whatever the case may be or whatever you're calling it, but they pivoted or they swerved. They didn't just say, let's close down, the heck with this thing. We'll wait for this thing to make money or to stay in business. And that's what hotels need to do. So these are just things that are coming up that just came up today. It's funny how I didn't have a topic until, 10 o'clock this morning when I came up with this one, right? You read stuff, I'm thinking and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know what? We have resources, or hotels have resources. I always throw myself in there because I'm Russell of Hotels, right? So I have to throw myself in there too. So I always say we, although I have not worked on property probably in 3 years, but I always say we, okay? So what about housekeeping, laundry, maintenance services? What about, because hotels have to, they had to be trained on the protocol of sanitation, how to keep rooms clean and safe for guests. Don't you think people in their homes want that same thing? What about, can we teach people in our neighborhood or people that are homeowners in our neighborhood to do the same things? Maybe they can come out and do classes on how to keep your house clean. People always have their house clean, right? Now you got to take it a step further. Sanitize the area. What about the air, the aerial sanitizers that they're using, the electrostat machines and all this kind of stuff? What about going in there and renting? I mean, they can do it by the hour, right? Somebody from your hotel goes to a home, they come over here, right? And I've cleaned it up for the most part, but I don't have the electrostat machine, right? So they come in with that, with all the chemicals, spray in there for whatever, 15, 20 minutes, 30, and get paid for it, right? And then whatever the cost is, I have to pay for it, of course. Well, that's, those are resources that the hotel already has, may not be being as used as much as it should be, because if you're running 20, 30%, you're not running at full capacity. Why not kind of help out some people in the area, train them how to do it, or maybe even they can buy the chemicals from you. I don't know, or at least give them an avenue to buy the chemicals and the training and all that. Those are resources that we have that they don't have access to, but you do. So you have something to offer. We've gone through all these trainings, right, for the hotel. But what about for someone, you know, outside of the hotel? I think it's a great idea, right? So if you, like I said, the new sanitation protocols to homeowners, we have resources that haven't been utilized or not being utilized now. What about co-working and office space, right? Hotels already have all the required facilities and infrastructure needed by professionals to conduct their businesses, okay? If their offices are closed, you know, and they're working from home, you know, be honest, people get tired of working from home, okay? I get tired from working at home as well. So what if I can go one day a week or whatever, 2 days a week, you go to the area hotel that it has to be cheaper than, say, if I'm renting from, you know, from one of the office space organizations, you know, the co-working, co-office space work environments or whatever. So it has to be a little different than that, right? I can't pay the same amount of money. So we have to think about that stuff. But what about that stuff? What about the hotel being the office space? They come in, they don't have to stay all day. They're not messing, you know, they're not utilizing the bed. They're just utilizing the workspace. Maybe the phone. I don't know. Yeah, maybe the phone, the workspace, the desk. They're bringing their laptops in there, but it's a way for them to get out of their home environment and you know, and going into somewhat of an office space. Hotels already have the infrastructure to do that. They have the Wi-Fi. They have everything. And of course, like I said, you're charging them to do this, but maybe it's a little less than if they went to WeWork or whatever the other co-office spaces are called. So, I mean, I just think that, like I said, it goes back to what I said earlier. There's a lot of resources that hotels have currently are not being utilized. So why not offer that to the business community, to your neighborhood community? Because you never know who's going to, you never know what people are looking for until you present it, right? If you don't ever present it, then you're never going to know. So those are things that I've been thinking of. Let's see, what else did I put? Hotels can repurpose certain areas for boutique corporate offices, lease out or partner with co-working organizations to develop special packages or professionals looking for an office space near their homes. Why not do that? So those are just things that I think about. You know, I always think about anything related to hotel. That's what Russell Hotels, right? That's what Russell Hotels is all about. Just trying to come up with different ideas, especially during this time. You're trying to come up with different ways still to make money, right, for hotels. And some of the stuff may be far-fetched for some hotels, but for some of them, it may not be. Some people may have thought about that already, but they haven't put it into place. Because obviously somebody's thought about this already, because there's some hotels that are doing this and are doing quite well because of it. And it comes down to, I remember some years ago, I was working with this organization. I was doing some consulting for this company, It was called, Smart Layover. Okay. And had to do with, the whole premise was an app for day use rooms. Now, a day use room is a room that you don't need all day. You can actually use it for, the way we did it was you can use it for certain parts of the day or certain number of hours in a day. So it went from 0 to 4 hours. Was it go 0 for 4? Yeah, 0 to 4, 4 to 8, and anything over 8 hours was just a full day rental, right? But you can book this on your app, right? And it was the rate, if it was 0 to 4, anything under 8 hours was half rate. Was like, say, if my rate for that day was, you know, $150, well, it was $75 for that block of time that you needed it. And it was probably one of the best apps to come out. And this was probably about 5 years ago, but there were some issues with the connectability with, because it was on the Google platform and for iPhones, and it became an issue with some connectability. And it ended up, we had to scrap the project because it didn't work on both platforms, and it was going to cost more time and more money. But then I think about it right now, if we would have done it, you know, even if it took a little more time, it would have been worth it, because there's, to this day, I think there's only one other company that's in the day use room space. A lot of people don't even know day use rooms even exist, where you can reserve a room for just a part of the day. You know, you're supposed to be checked out by like 5 o'clock. They come in, they refresh the room, and then they resell it, right? So you actually, for hotels that are pretty busy, it actually, you know, it does a lot better for their bottom line, because you're getting money that you weren't getting before. So you got $75, you know, for the day use room, and then you're reselling that room for $150. So there you go. So you made, you know, $75 more on that room than you would have if you didn't offer day use rooms. But a lot of hotels offer day use rooms. It's just that they don't put it on a separate platform. This was a totally separate platform that no one had. It's called Smart Layover. Look it up. Russell of Hotels was part of that, right? He was on the ground floor. But anyway, that's, you know, I get ticked off every time I think about how well that company would have done. But anyway, it was a startup. You know, a lot of startups, you know, come and go, right? And that was one of the startups that just didn't catch on 100%. But we had started off with 100 hotels, and most of those hotels were in Europe or in the UK. So, and it was gradual, because in certain parts of the world, they use day use rooms a lot. The business people come in and they only use it for a certain period of time, and then they, you know, check out by 5 o'clock, right? Asia and Europe were the biggest supporters of this particular smart layover. But anyway, so that's what it is. That's what it was. But anyway, these are just things that we could think about that we can do when hotels have all these resources. I mean, all these trainings that we have, and we have special, unique sets of training, right, that no other organization has, right? So, which can transcend to other industries, right? But we need to make sure that we're utilizing the resources that we have. So anyway, so that's it for today. I'm like 10 minutes early today. So Ronan should be happy, right? So he didn't have to send those nasty messages to me. I'm just joking, Ronan. Anyway, so thank you so much for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. I do appreciate your time and listening to me ramble. And next week would be show number 70, right? Can you believe that? Show number 70. What am I going to do? Nothing. Same thing I did today. I'm going to talk. I'm going to ramble and possibly have a couple guests. So hopefully we can get that worked out. I have a meeting on Thursday with Michelle Carlin, and we're going to talk about some stuff. So hopefully we can get them on the show next week, and we can have some exciting things to talk about. So you guys take care. Happy Tuesday. Remember, it's Taco Tuesday. So make sure you do something. You know, if you listen to the show, can you make sure Taco Tuesday is something that has no meat? Do non-meat eats on Taco Tuesday if you listen to On Air with Russell Fotel's show, okay? Show your support. So thank you so much. Have a great day. Talk to you soon. And remember, show number 70 next week. Peace. Thank you.
thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Please tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality professionals. Your feedback is important. Email Russell at russell@russellofhotels.com with any questions or suggestions. Until next time, try not to be a person of success, rather become a person of value.